The whole church. It's family back to school. We call it back to school family party day. And we are going to have a time in our service where we're going to pray for our teachers. We're going to pray for anybody that's involved with this school. And we're going to do that. And then after service, one of the ways we do that is by celebrating here with fellowship and time. We're going to have a couple food trucks, actually 3 food trucks here. It's for everybody. We're going to be having some competitions. We're going to be having bingo for adults that don't want to maybe do tug of war. We're going to be doing some pickleball. We got some cornhole. Got all kinds of stuff going on afterwards. We got a movie for the kids. And so we really encourage you to come and be a part of that next Sunday and bring someone with you. That's what we're going to really focus in on, and I really want to challenge you to come. It's for our kids, but it's also for the whole family. And today, on your way out, there's some sign-ups to sign up for. There's tug-of-war, different things that we'd like you to sign up for. We've got prizes for bingo. It's just going to be a real fun time. Let's pray, and we'll get right into our lesson today. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for this day. It is the day that you've made, and we want to come and we want to rejoice in that. No matter what's going on in our life, God, no matter how we walked in here today, we know that you want to be praised, and you want to be worshiped, and you want to be adored. And God, we want to get to that business. So God, use me today. Use my words and the things I need to say, let me say them, and the things that don't let me say them. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just really run amok in our hearts this day. We give you permission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in a new series. If you were here last week, we talked about hearing God's voice, and it was part of our hot topic thing. I had about a 5-week series on that, but I'm going to shift for a year-long emphasis today. So you're here at a good time because you're getting a preview of where we're going this next year. This whole last year, everything of our preaching, our teaching has been all for Jesus. I sent you home with some bracelets. Next week, you're going to get a new one. We're going to talk about an emphasis here of following, what it means to follow Christ. And what does that look like? What shape or form does that take in our life? As I look at the church, as I look at not just our church, but I look at the church globally, a lot of American churches today are coming back to this. They're coming back to getting back to the basics. So many churches in the last 20, 25 years have gone and they built these huge superstructures. They built these huge gyms and these programs and these things that they do to have people come to them. And I see so many of them abandoning that and saying, let's get back to teaching people who Jesus is. And I see people getting back to the heart of what it means to worship the Lord and what it means to serve the Lord. And so I see that more and more. And I believe that's our task as a church these next years that God has given us, if God tarries, is to move forward and to get deeper with God and to get deeper with each other. And so the overall question that I'm going to ask you today that doesn't show up anywhere in our material that I'm going to talk about is two words or two phrases. The first phrase is this: who's your rabbi? Who is your rabbi? Who is teaching you right now to follow Jesus? And don't say me, because I appreciate that right now I'm teaching you, but a rabbi is more of something that's a one-on-one kind of situation. Two-on-two, one-on-two, a smaller thing. And then, not only who's your rabbi, but who are you rabbiing? Who are you rabbiing? And if you're not rabbiing somebody, you're not doing what Jesus asked you to do, because he says, I task you to go and teach who I am and to tell everybody who I am and then to disciple them. And that's what he did. And so we're going to suss out what it means to be a disciple this week and next week. And we're going to challenge you to follow God and to realize who is your teacher. And I don't mean Jesus. He has to be your ultimate teacher. But you need an earthly teacher, somebody that you go to and say, how do I get through this? How do I do what I'm doing now? And then you need somebody that you can go and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's going to be our theme for this whole next year. So today and next week, we're going to unlock what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was 30 years old, he began his public ministry. The Bible tells us loads and loads about it. And the first thing he did when he went public was he went and he gathered a group of 12 smelly fishermen, guys who he could train, guys who he called disciples. Many times in Scripture, it tells us that he invited people to become his disciples. And in Matthew 9:9, he says this, as Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting in his tax collection booth. And he said to him, the first words is, he said, come be my disciple, Jesus said. So Matthew got up and he followed him. And he followed him, and we know that he later on wrote the book of Matthew. Today, Jesus Christ makes this exact same offer to us. He's made it to us many times, and we come to church and we hear this and we say, okay, I want to follow Christ. And so we do, and we come to church and we get a little bored. We come to church and we get tired of doing the same things, and we come to church and we don't really press in, and we really don't get any, we don't have somebody that's teaching us deeply, and we're not teaching anybody else. So well, in essence, what we're doing is we're just getting we're getting the word of God, but we're not doing much with it. Follow has so many connotations to it. So what is a disciple? What is a disciple? The word disciple comes from the Latin word, and you don't care about this a lick, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's the word discipulus. Discipulus, I'm sure I'm screwing it up. I listened to it a million times, still can't pronounce it. But it means that you are a student. It means that you are a learner. And so I ask you again, who is your teacher? Of course it's Jesus, but you need a teacher. And you need a student. The word in the Bible is actually used in different ways. The first way it's used is about anybody who's being trained by anybody else. Somebody, who is it that's training you? The second way it's used is that it's the word that we use to describe Jesus' disciples, later on called apostles. He called them apostles. The word disciple is a synonym back in the New Testament that they also, the first Christians, were not called Christians. They were called disciples. They said, whose disciple are you? Who's your rabbi? Jesus. So I want us to look at the definition today and next week. What does it mean to be a disciple? Because if you don't get this, in these uncertain, strange, weird times, you are going to get pulled up from the very existence of who you are. Because if your roots aren't deeply rooted in Jesus, and you have somebody that you are listening to and somebody you are sowing into, you're going to get blown off your moorings. So I want us to look at this definition of disciple. Three things I want to share with you today. And then next week I'm going to share three more parts of what it means to be a disciple. What it means to follow Jesus. Because it gets so distended in the church. What's it mean? Well, it means you're supposed to give money. Yeah, that's nice. That's part of it. It means you're supposed to pray. Yes, that's part of it. It means you're supposed to come to church. Yeah, that's part of it. But there's so much more. And we're missing it. And when the buzzer hits the fan, when it hits the fan, you're going to need a rabbi. And you're going to need some students in your life to say, here's what God is saying for you today. Let's talk about it. Number one, to be a disciple, I got to spend time with Jesus. I got to spend time with Jesus. If you're not spending time with Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, you say, well, we're spending time here today. No, not really. You're listening to me. You're listening to me. That's part of it. That's good. It's a part. Because like any relationship, the more you invest in, the more you're going to get out of it. If you invest in something, you all know this. You bought into baseball. You bought into dance. You bought into 4-H. You bought into, and it encompasses you. The more you buy in, the more you like what it is you're doing. The more you care about what's going on. And you have got to start caring more about Jesus and getting what he wants you to do than what you think you should be doing. John 12 says it this way. John 12, if you want to be my disciple, you must come and you must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And if they follow me, the Father will honor them. The Father will honor them. This verse is packed with meaning, and I want to tear it apart just a little bit, because I can't move forward without unpacking this John 12 verse. And there's four things I want to share with you about John 12. Listen and do not check out. The first thing it says is this. We learn from John 12 that spiritual growth is a choice. If you're going to grow, it's a choice. You have to choose it. You don't just grow automatically like Jesus. You have to choose it. You can know this, that you can grow old, and that doesn't mean you're growing up. It does not mean you're spiritually mature. Because I know so many people that are older that are not spiritually mature. They're still a bunch of babies. Please me, make me happy. I want this, I want that. We learn from John 12 that growth is a commitment. It's something I have to commit to. You know that anything, traveling ball, that sport, anything that you commit to, it is a commitment. You have to take and you got to pay. You got to go. You got to be. You got to purchase. You got to have the attire. You got to have the equipment. It desires a huge commitment on your part. When he said, come and follow, that's an action that takes to grow. You have to commit. You have to say, I'm in. And some of you said it a long time ago, I'm in. But as you sit here today, you're going, I'm kind of in. So we learn it's a choice. We learn it's a commitment. And John 12 teaches us that we grow by making those commitments. Marriage causes you to grow up. I can't tell you how much it caused me to grow up. I was a baby. All I cared about was me, me, me. Cars, sports, fun, fun, fun. And the minute I got married, I'm like, whoa. And then I had kids, and I went, whoa, whoa. That's causing me great, great commitment, because I now had something that was bigger than me, something that wasn't just me. A long time ago, I did a study, and I brought it out, and I want to share it with you today. It's a long one. I'm sharing just part of it with you, but keep up if you can here, because I'm going to try to, all these verses are on the Bible. I'm just going to shotgun it. I'm not going to explain it, but I want to show you all the comes in the Bible. Watch this. Long ago when I did this, it says he started out with this come and see. For instance, the very first words of Jesus' public ministry were this, come and see in John 1:39. He says, come and see. That's the first invitation. He says, guys, where are you going? And they asked Jesus, where are you going to take us? He said, come and see. See, he didn't tell all the stuff. He didn't tell them a whole bunch of details. He just said, come and see. We have got to get back to that, church. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when we first started, the first 2-3 years, we were crazy about this church. We would tell everybody we met, this is what our church is. This is who our church is. Come and see. It's something here. And I still think it's something. I think it's something special. And I think it's something sacred. But I think so many of us have taken it for granted. We've taken this assembly for granted. You don't need a huge, big campus, with multi-campuses to serve God. You need where one or two or more are gathered together. And I'm not banging on bigger groups. I'm telling you today, I think the problem is some of us have stopped saying, come and see. When's the last time you said to anybody, come, I want you to see what our church is about? And I think some of the shine is worn off. And so as we sit here today, we're going, yeah, I like my church, and Jeff's okay, and yeah, he didn't make me throw up, and I like some of the worship, and some we do some good things, but come and see, nah, that's not for me. We've got to start saying to people, check it out. That's where we start. That's where it starts. Check us out. Come with me. I want to make that challenge to you right off the first today. Now, let's notice the next commitment he says. He says, come and follow me, come and see. And then he says in Matthew 4, he says, come with me, follow me. Then in Matthew 11, he says, if you're tired, come to me and I'll give you rest. Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. I can get down with that. I'll give you rest. John 7, he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Okay, he's getting a little bit more. In John 5, he says, come to me and you can have life. See, most of the people that he was talking to, they didn't have much life going on. John 8, he says, if you follow me, you won't stumble in darkness. John 10, he says, those who come to me will be saved. He even gets a little more deep going, a little deeper. John 21:12. I love this one. This is my favorite. Not really. This is a joke. But after the resurrection, he says, come to me and have breakfast. I like that. I thought that was really cool. It's literally in the Bible, come and have breakfast. So going to breakfast is kind of biblical. So invite somebody to breakfast. Mark 8, he says, come and deny yourself. Oh, he's getting deeper. Deny yourself? You mean I got to put me to the side? Yep. Deny yourself. Matthew 8:22, he says, come and follow me and let the dead bury the dead. What? I can't even bury. No, just follow me. Follow me. And Luke 9, he says, come and take up your cross. Dang, I got to carry a cross? Yeah. Carry a cross. Deeper and deeper and deeper commitment. See, that's what a rabbi does. He starts out, come and see. And he ends up, you're going to have to die to yourself. Matthew 19, give away what you've got. Ooh, give away what you got and come follow me. He's turning up the heat. He's requiring more and more commitment. That's what it means to be a disciple. That it gradually, it heats up. It gets deeper and deeper, and you have to stop doing the things that you know he doesn't want you to participate in and to be in. Lastly, the last thing that John 12 teaches us, it teaches us that spiritual growth is a relationship. Listen to me. It's a relationship. It's not about rules. It's not about rituals. And this is what we've turned the church into. It's not about a formula. It's not about expectations. It's about being with Jesus, period. So what does that mean to the disciple today? See, obviously Jesus isn't here physically, but he is right here with us today, we believe, as followers of Christ. You can talk to him all the time. You can listen to him, as we said last week. You can listen for his voice. You can have a running conversation with Jesus Christ all day long. But if you only talk to the Lord on church on weekends, if it's just right now, if this is the only time you even remotely think about it or spend time doing something about Jesus, you're wrong. You're wrong. You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed because you're a follower. You call yourself a what? A Christian? What do Christians do? They have a rabbi, and they rabbi someone else. I want you to let that set in. Are you bawling us out, Jeff? I'm bawling us all out. Second thing I want to send you home with today is this. What does it mean to be a disciple? If I want to be a disciple, I've got to love Jesus supremely. That means above everything else, above all. I got caught up in that stupid Bailing Out Loud show. You ever seen that Bailing Out? Any of you, three of you seen it? Yeah, three of you. There's this show, and they're supposed to be Christians, and I know she's got Tourette's, but that family is the cussedest family I've ever seen in my life. And they wear these shirts that say above all. They've got this wonderful, this somebody's buying into them, above all, above all. And their chance to be above all and say something, they're screwing it up. And so are we. We have to love him supremely above everything else. Our habits, the things we participate in, the places we put our money, the places we put our time have to be him over all those things. Luke 14 says this. Luke 14. If you want to be my follower, you must love me. You must love me more than your own father and mother, your wife, your children, your brothers and your sisters. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Is there any more plainly to put that? Any other plain way? Nah, 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 nah. What he's saying is this. Your love for God is to be so intense that everything else pales in comparison. And you know what that's called? Worship. Worship. It's called you adore him above everything else. You set him above everything else. By the way, guys, I want to talk to guys here for just a second. Guys that have a family, if you're a dad or a husband, the greatest security you can give your family is to let them know that you love God more than anything else. Why? Listen. Because this. They're thinking, hey, he's not doing this on his own. He just doesn't have a wild hair. He's not just taking us down this path. He's depending on God. He listens to what God says, and he's directing us that way. He is directing our kids. He is directing. I'm not saying mom doesn't have a part in all. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, men, you have the job of making your family feel secure. And the reason they don't feel secure is because they often wonder, what the heck are you doing, Dad? Where are you taking us? You take us to movies that we shouldn't be going to. You take us to restaurants we shouldn't be in. You take us to places we shouldn't be going. So I'm kind of mixed up when you tell me to serve God and you're taking me to these directions. Spiritual growth is measured by how much you love. It's not measured by how much you know. That's what so many churches get wrapped up in. Know all this stuff. You know it. You should be able to quote it. You should be able to live it. You should be able to live it. It's not measured by attendance at church. It is not measured by coming to church or coming to anything that the dang church does. It's by your love for the rabbi and the one you're rabbiing. Mark 12 says this. It's one of the founding verses that we used for our church. The most important command is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's called radical devotion. Radical devotion. And if you want to make it through these next couple years in our crazy, mixed up country, you better have a radical devotion to a rabbi, and to somebody you're rabbiing. When you love God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, you're loving God radically. It means that you love God above anyone else. Your spouse can't be in the way. Your kids can't be in the way. Your sex life can't be in the way. More, he is above all those things. I think it's going to come up on the screen, but I said this. Worship is whatever you give your best love to. Worship is whatever you give your best love to. A lot of you, you know what it is? It's your job. Because you get home and you're what? I'm tired. So the family suffers. You suffer. Where's the family going to go? I don't know. I'm tired. I loved all day long. I stayed in the job. I'm taking care of the fam. Okay. Follow along. Don't check out. I know this is getting a little bit feisty, spicy. Here we go. The word worship in the Bible is proskuneo. And I said that exactly right. Proskuneo. Proskuneo. And it literally means this. Kiss. It means to kiss. It means to show affection. It means to shower with affection. When you worship something, you don't care what anybody else thinks about. You run to them and they alone are yours and they are yours. Vice and versa. You worship God and some of you are worried about how do I look? Oh, I don't want to raise my hands. Oh, I don't want to seem like my voice is horrible. It doesn't matter about your dang voice. And I'm not just talking about public worship. I'm not talking about worship that you do at home, at your job. And I'm not just talking about singing here because you worship with your life because what you love, you worship. Does this get a little ouch? How many of you have a dog? Raise your hands real quick. Who's got a dog? Yeah, you love your dog? Yeah. When your dog comes and licks your hand, your dog is expressing fear and anger and resentment? No. When your dog comes and licks your hand, he's expressing one thing. L-O-V-E. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mama. That's it. And at that moment, your dog is worshiping you. When your dog comes and licks your hand, your dog, he or she is saying, I couldn't care about what anybody else thinks. I love my master. Did you know that the word for the dog licking his master's hand in Greek is also proskuneo? Isn't that funny? It's the word worship. It's the exact same word, which means I love so much, I love them so much, I don't give a dang about anybody else. That's where we got to move towards. And lastly, I want to send you home with this. About done. Give me a few more minutes. If I want to be a disciple, if I want to grow spiritually, I must love other disciples. This is a tough one. This is tough. Sometimes we're irritating. Sometimes we are obnoxious. And Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciples, you don't got to just love me. You got to love some disciples. And what is the disciples? Well, they're the family of God. Because the minute you become a disciple, you are the family of God. You're part of it. It is the church. Most of you here today, you are part of the family of God. It is the people of God. Follow me on this. John 13:35, Jesus says this, if you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciple. They will know. That's how they know you love, is if you love those that aren't so hard, easy to love. Not just love for me, but love for each other. It's easy to love God. Oh, I love you, God. And we can do it with our lips a lot, but we don't do it so much with action. But he's saying, here's where the rubber meets the road. Do it with those that are hard to love. You ever heard anybody say this? I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. Yes? Come on, say yes. Then that person isn't a disciple. Listen to me. Because with all its imperfections, all of its faults, all of its faux pas and failures, the church is made up of people, normal, ordinary, sinful, reckless people. Jesus says the church matters. Christ died for the church. It's the fact that keeps us going on this planet. The Democratic Party, the Republican Party, is not going to be around very much longer, and I can guarantee you that. The United States of America isn't going to be around much longer, and I can guarantee you that. I believe in some of our lifetimes. The only thing that's going to last for eternity is that God's family, the church. That's why it's important in these times that you make sure you don't get your identity in something that's not going to be around. So if you love the church, if you don't love the people in the church, you're not going to like heaven, because that's who's going to be there. So you better figure it out now. How do I love some of these ditty heads today? How do I love them? Jesus died for the church. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. Follow me on this. How about if I said to you, I like you, but I can't stand your stupid wife? You wouldn't have too much of a relationship with me, would you? You wouldn't. You'd be offended. You'd be irritated. You'd have a right to be. This is absolutely ridiculous, the way we're treating the church today. The church has got a bad name because the church doesn't have a rabbi, very many of us, and most of us aren't rabbi and nobody. And so that's why the people are going, I don't like the church. This is obvious. Disciples have to love the family of God. Spiritual growth happens in community. That's where we grow. We had some of our best times here as a church when we were struggling out in the community, when we were out doing outreaches, when we were doing things like that, because people just came together and said, how can I be a part of it? And now, in the last couple of years, what we've done is like, how do we take care of, how do we manage this place right here? You know, how do we take care of what we got? God is calling us again, I think, to get back into our community. We stepped out of our community a little bit. Yeah, we got the hub, and that's nice. We used to go into the community all the time. What happened to that? What happened? The Bible teaches this. If you love each other, if you love one another, it is one of the most important things you can do. 58 times it's talked about in the New Testament. 58 times, love one another. 58 times. You may be listening to 10 podcasts. You may be so spiritual and know a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm telling you, relationships don't happen in podcasts. They don't happen in watching it on TV. They happen in a group. They happen in a group that serves. They happen in a group that teaches. They happen in a group that goes and does stuff for Jesus. That's where relationship grows. And that's called radical fellowship. And that's what our church is so good at. I think we've gotten a little bit lax on it. And fellowship, when we say, well, I don't know. Why do I want to get together? I don't even know these people. Half of you don't know. We're a church of 100 people. I don't know that person. What's wrong with that? That's a problem. Do you not want to know these people? I don't even know their name. Okay. That's a little bit weird. God says, I measure your love by how much you're willing to sacrifice for other Jesus people. That's what it means to be a disciple. Listen, that's what it means to be a disciple. It doesn't mean to come to church. It doesn't mean to sit your seats down and make sure that you've got a nice, comfortable donut and got it all. It doesn't mean any of that. It means that you're sacrificing for somebody else. How do I roll this all together today? Here it is. I've got to spend time with Jesus. I got to love him above all else. And I must love other disciples. We're going to stop there. We're going to pick back up next week. And I'm going to send you home with a challenge next week. So please, please be here. please encourage someone else to come. Band, you can come on and come. Let me close by saying this. You are only going to grow spiritually this next 6 months or this next year if you do these two things. If you choose to grow, and if you quit being such a casual Christian, you've got to choose it. And you've got to stop being a casual Christian. You've got to say, no, here's who I am. It is not just something I do. I'm not just a part of that church over there. This is who I am. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to be a godly man. I'm going to be a godly teen. I'm going to be a godly mom. I'm going to become a godly woman. You will grow if you make the choice. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word that we've looked at today. So many scriptures of what it means to follow. God, help us to start to answer that question. Who is my rabbi? And if I don't have one today, God, I want to find a rabbi. And God, if there's not somebody that I'm rabbiing, then I want to ask you to help me be that person for that other person. Because the reason so many of us are floundering, because we don't have a rabbi. We say we love you, but we need somebody physical to kind of guide us, somebody to teach us, somebody to show us, somebody to dig in deep with. And say, God, help me to be able to say to my community, follow me as I follow Christ. That's a tough sentence to say. And God, if there's in one person here today that is not following you, would you convict them this day? If there's one person here today that needs to start following you, would you speak to their heart as the band sings? We pray all these things.